following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Almost a century ago, the company known as RCA was promoting a new product, and their slogan was this: it is the gift that keeps on giving. And so as we're looking at spiritual gifts, we kind of look at these gifts in different categories. Next week we'll be moving to the book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at some that are used specifically here within the confines of the local church. But for today, we're looking at a group of four spiritual gifts, and they are definitely gifts that keep on giving. We're going to look at the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, and the gift of mercy. I think that all of these are in some way, shape, or form are connected together. We're on part seven of this sermon series. We first started exploring spiritual gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're now in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there this morning, if you have your copy of God's Word. Some specific things that the Apostle Paul has instructed the readers are necessary elements in effort to finding and implementing your particular spiritual gift or gifts. Number one, we looked at this: let us use them. It does you absolutely no good to find your spiritual gift if you're not going to put it to use. John says to test the spirits and try the spirits. But also Paul says, we looked at this last week, let us pray for them. Right now, are you praying for God to show and reveal to you your spiritual gift? Here this morning, I want us to enter into these last four with this concept in mind. In verse 3, Paul says to not become high-minded in the things that you do. So let's stay humble as we find our spiritual gifts. Let's don't brag about, I know what my spiritual gift is, mine's better than yours. They're all equally important. They're all necessary here in the body of Christ. Today, within the sound of my voice, though, as you're looking at things that are going on throughout the world, as you're listening to this sermon, as you're hearing these scriptures, these songs being sung, right now, within the sound of my voice, there are two types of people. There are those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They could care less about spiritual gifts. They could care less about finding their spiritual gift, and they're not going to be able to find their spiritual gift, because a spiritual gift is supernaturally imparted to a person when by faith they step into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there are those of you who are saved. You have for sure accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Your sins have been forgiven. Your destination is now secure. And you're here, you're eagerly wanting to know, what is my spiritual gift? How can I find it, and where can I put it to use at? So that's my hope and my prayer for this sermon series as we enter about the halfway part. We're kind of over the hump now. We're getting into some very, very specific spiritual gifts. But if you have your copy of God's Word, let's all stand. We're going to read verses 6 through 21. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want to finish out the chapter today. We've been taking it off in little bits and chunks here and there. Beginning in verse 6, Apostle Paul says this. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And I find it very, very interesting that he connects the gift of love, or the act of love, with spiritual gifts here in Romans 12, the same way he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 covers spiritual gifts, and then in chapter 13 he moves into what we know as the love chapter. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. There it is again. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you wish to impart these spiritual gifts on those who have trusted in you. And I pray, Lord God, for our congregation here that our body would function as it's supposed to, that each and every person would diligently seek out their spiritual gifts. For those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this is something that will pique their interest. This is something that will reveal to them their need for a Savior. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'll move us through this passage and this topic of spiritual gifts in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you and beneficial for the body of Christ. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as you look at these four gifts together, the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, and the gift of mercy, they all in some way, shape, or form are very, very intricately connected with each other. They all go back to that gift of ministry that Paul mentions in verse 7. But the first one I want to look at is the gift of exhortation, or in some translations, the gift of encouragement. I'm using the New King James translation. Yours may be a little bit different. So some of them, exhortation, encouragement, is the same thing. They're interchangeable. Here's something I want to ask you this morning. Here's the first challenge. I'm going to have several challenges for you this morning. This is the first one. Have you gone out of your way recently to offer someone a word of encouragement? When is the last time you really went out of your way to pay someone a compliment? Hey, I see you struggling. You can do it. You got this. I'm here for you. I want to help you. We all need encouragement at some point in time. I need encouragement in the job that I do. You need encouragement to find your spiritual gift and put it to use. So this word exhortation or encouragement, where does it come from? It is the ability to motivate, to excite, to advise, to encourage, comfort, or to warn people. It's almost like a spiritual cheerleader. You're on the sidelines, someone's down in the trenches, they're fighting, and you want to just offer them as much encouragement as you possibly can. That could be a gift that you have. And it's a gift that not everyone has. Some people, it is very, very difficult for them to find the words to properly encourage a person who is struggling. Some people nitpick the situation. They see only the fault in different things. But some people naturally see when someone is doing a great job, and they will go out of their way to offer a word of encouragement to that person. So the word encouragement or exhortation in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in is the word parakaleo. Para means to be alongside of or to the side. That word kaleo is to call out. Have you ever been called out on anything? Have you ever had someone come along beside you and call you out on a certain issue that you're dealing with? Maybe they're doing it to correct you. Maybe they're doing it to excite you. Maybe they're doing it to stimulate you to do a better job. Parakaleo is the Greek word. So we see someone who has been encouraged in the book of Acts, if you want to turn with me. Early on in the book of Acts, there's a man by the name of Barnabas that comes onto the scene. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement. He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So not only is he showing the gift of encouragement, he is doing it through his giving. He is helping the apostles out. He is supporting their ministry. He is doing something that not many people were able to do. He had a piece of land. You know what? I'm going to sell this land, and I believe that these apostles are doing their best to support and to move the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. So I'm going to encourage them by supporting their ministry in a way that I can. This isn't the only time that we see this man by the name of Barnabas. He is an encourager through and through. Right here, he is encouraging a group of people. I see the job you're doing. I'm going to support the job you're doing. I am here to encourage you and to help you and to be a part of what God is doing in your life and in this area. So the next place we see this man by the name of Barnabas is in Acts chapter 9. They couple him up one-on-one with another person. Saul of Tarsus has had a conversion experience on the road to Damascus. He is now the Apostle Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament. And to help the Apostle Paul, Barnabas comes alongside of him because everyone else is afraid of him. And in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 26, it says this, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, the son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So while everyone else had rejected Saul of Tarsus, who had to change his name to the Apostle Paul, Barnabas saw something in the Apostle Paul that was useful for the kingdom of God. And to help him get started in his ministry, he came alongside him, brought him to the rest of the apostles, and spoke up for him. Now, Paul and Barnabas would go on a first ever missionary journey. Paul's first missionary journey, Barnabas was with him the majority of the way. So that leads me to ask you this question. How encouraging are you to someone who just is having a hard time fitting in? Maybe society has cast them out. Maybe they can't find a place where they can fit in at. How willing are you to come along beside them and say, "Hey, I think God has a plan for your life. I want to encourage you. I want to cheer you on. But also when I see you trip up, when I see you heading in a way that you shouldn't be going, I'm going to call you out on it because I want to see you go on in your walk with the Lord." Do you have the gift of encouragement or exhortation? So tonight when you come back for our 6 o'clock service, we'll be in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews says this, he says, "Therefore, as we are in this race, there is a great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on." We see the race that you're running. We see the work that you're doing. We see the struggle. We see you trying to cast away all those things that are weighing you down. And we see you keeping your eyes on Jesus. And we want to encourage you by cheering you on this great cloud of witnesses. I'm excited to preach tonight because it's very, very encouraging, the word that I'm going to bring from Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you're here tonight again. But are you encouraging to someone? When is the last time that you've really gone out of your way to offer someone a word of encouragement? I'm going to come back to that in just a moment with another one of our gifts that we're going to look at. The next thing that we see is the gift of giving. Which brings me to this question. Has the Lord brought a need in our community to your attention lately? He who gives with liberality. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Paul also says this. He says, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver." Is it hard for you when that offering plate comes around to turn loose of that money? I'm not saying that you need to give more. I'm not saying that you need to just give everything that you have. I'm saying you need to give what the Lord is asking you to give. A clenched fist means I'm going to hold on tight to it. It is mine. I don't want anyone else to have it. But when you open that hand, that means I'm cheerfully giving what I have because I think you need it more than I do. When you walk up to someone to greet them and you greet them with a clenched fist, what message does that relay? We're about to have a throwdown. I'm about to have a smackdown, but on Sunday mornings when we have our meet and greet time, you've got that open hand. It's the right hand of Christian fellowship. It means I'm ready to receive your fellowship in the name of the Lord. Has the Lord brought a need in our community to your attention lately? And the word here for give means to share or to contribute to needs. Once again, one of the keys of finding and using spiritual gifts is to stay humble. This is especially important with the gift of giving. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Jesus speaks on giving quite extensively here. He says, when you do give, there's a certain attitude that you need to have about your giving. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. Remember what I said earlier about finding your spiritual gifts? One of the keys is to stay humble. Paul mentions that in verse 3 of Romans 12. And here Jesus is saying the very same thing. Don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, and that word assuredly, anytime you see it, King James Version uses the words verily, verily. My old grandpa used to say it like this, boy, let me tell you one thing. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying assuredly, let me tell you this, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul says here. He who gives with liberality, he says up in verse 3, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Here's the thing that I want you to know about giving. God has given you what you have, not to hoard it, not to store it away, not to boast about how fat your bank account is. God has blessed you so that you can bless others. Amen? Next month, we're going to have a big emphasis on Operation Christmas Child. We're going to have Christmas in July. We're going to have an opportunity for you to invest, for us to send gifts out throughout the world to people we've never met before, we may never ever meet. But let me tell you an interesting story. We had someone contact us last month, I believe it was. They wrote us a letter on our Facebook page. They said, hey, years ago, we received a gift from this person. They gave a specific name for it. I would just like to contact that person and let them know how much that gift meant. We've had reports from towns throughout the world who have come together. They've been fighting. There have been family feuds for many, many years. But when these gifts come in and the kids start receiving these towns come together and there's a spirit of peace. Where there once was division, there is now unity because someone invested in the kingdom of God. And along with Christmas in July, we're going to hear a report from someone who just took a trip to Romania, Operation Christmas Child, to see what's going on. And we're going to get the inside scoop on what Operation Christmas Child does throughout the year. So be praying about what the Lord would give you, would have you to give to that. Last weekend, we took up a big offering for the Louisiana Baptist Children's Home. In the month of September, we'll be taking up a special offering called the Georgia Barnett State Mission Offering. That goes into efforts like our GOLA team that was here for Vacation Bible School, disaster relief that comes along when needed. When you give of your tithes and offerings, you're not just dropping a dollar in the plate. You're giving to someone's eternal destination. Disaster relief is much, much more than pulling limbs off of a roof or putting a blue tarp on. It's opening the door for someone to share the gospel. one of the most blessed times. And I think that one of the things that have piqued my interest more about disaster relief is at the end of the day, over in that fellowship hall, I got to listen to all the stories unfold. We have someone here who is attending faithfully because Disaster Relief responded to their call for help, went to their home, and now they are connected. They know for sure that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And every time you drop in that offering plate, a portion of that goes to our state convention and on to the Southern Baptist Convention, and it goes into efforts just like Disaster Relief, GOLA, and many, many other things. But what about here in our own community? Has the Lord put your attention on something? Is there something that you've noticed that no one else has? Maybe there is a need that the Lord is bringing to your attention for us to be involved in. However, for someone with the gift of giving, it just seems to come naturally. They understand the concept of casting their bread upon the water, as mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. They are looking for any and every opportunity to invest in someone else's life. And when we talk about the gift of giving, I'm not talking about just money only. I'm talking about your time and your resources, the things you do around here. For me, that is one of the things to do, is to invest time in something, because we are all busy. Every one of us is busy. And if we allow it, we can become so self-centered that all we're doing is serving our own selves, catering to our own needs instead of looking outward and finding where that need may be. Here's the next question that I want to ask you. Have you matured to a point where you can help another person grow in their faith? He says in verse 8, he who leads with diligence. And something I thought a lot about as I was preparing this message, what does it mean to actually lead someone into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's something I want you to remember. You can't lead someone to a place that you haven't been yourself. What does it mean to lead someone into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? There has to be a starting point. Maybe you found someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible. Maybe you have found someone who has never ever heard of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have heard someone that doesn't know anything about Christianity or our faith. Maybe God is asking you to take that person by the hand and lead them in a direction where they can find those things. When we think of leadership, we think of somebody just taking a group of people and moving them in a direction to accomplish a certain goal. But I think when you think about leading someone or the gift of leading, you have the ability to come alongside someone, like we said just a minute ago, with the gift of exhortation, and take them by the hand, give of your time, give of your knowledge, give of your compassion, and give of yourself, and invest in that person's life and lead them to a place where they can find new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do need leaders. We do need people who can take a group and organize them. Maybe they've seen a need somewhere in our community. We have people who have some outstanding organizational skills. We have someone who can structure things in a way where it is done without any chaos or confusion. It is done so efficiently, and that's what good leaders do. They are organized. Notice he says that he who leads do it with diligence. Do you realize that a part of the process of discipleship involves the ability to lead? Jesus led his group of 12 men to learn how to pray, to learn how to preach, to learn how to teach. But when you lead someone through the discipleship process, first you lead someone to the Lord, then you lead someone in the Christian disciplines, and then you lead them where they can lead others as well. I heard a story one time about an eye surgeon that took a missionary trip to Africa. And as he was there in the bush, he ran across a tribe who had an eye disease that was very, very easily cured with a very simple surgery. So he brought the first patient in. He did the procedure. He had the patches on for a couple of days. He came back in. to remove the patches. And as soon as he moved the patches off, the guy opened his eyes, and he could see. He hopped up off the table. He ran out of the little grass hut. Didn't know where he was going. Didn't see from him. Didn't hear from him anymore after that. And that eye doctor said, you know what? I really thought I was going to be able to help a bunch of people. And this is the thanks I get. I'm just going back to America. I can't do this. I'm not appreciated around here. And as he was packing his belongings, as he was loading up his suitcase, there was a knock on the door of this little grass hut that he was staying in. And when he opened the door, there was that patient. A big smile on his face with a rope in his hand. And behind him, there was about a dozen other people who couldn't see. He knew where they could get help at. He knew where he had received his sight at. And what he was doing is he was leading those people to a place where they too can find help. That's what a leader does. A leader takes someone by the hand and brings them to a place where they can find new hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of leadership, do you have it? Can you lead others to a place where they've never been before? The last gift on our list here in the book of Romans is the gift of mercy. I think mercy is needed for all of these. I think you need to have a gift of mercy to encourage someone. I think you need to have a gift of mercy to be able to give efficiently and effectively. I think you need to have a gift of mercy. Oh, boy, do I know you need the gift of mercy to be a leader. I know this is going to be a surprise to you. Some people are just hard to get along with. I know that's a shocker, isn't it? We all need the gift of mercy. And here's the thing. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have already been a recipient of mercy in your life. Here's the last question that I have for you today. Can you function in our world today with a heart of compassion? Let me just say this. The world that we live in today, it is very, very difficult to be compassionate sometimes. There are so many scam artists. There are so many people who are out to take advantage of you. And you become vulnerable when you become compassionate or when you share mercy in another person's life. But I think it's interesting the words that he couples these gifts with. He who exhorts, do it with liberality. He who leads, do it with diligence. He who has mercy, to do it with cheerfulness. Let's bring this all back to full circle here. Look at verse 3 with me. I know I've read it once, but I want to look at it a little bit closer again. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly or sensible or clear-minded, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It can be very, very difficult to lead someone to Jesus when your head is in the cloud all the times. But when you have the gift of mercy and when you have the gift of compassion, when you can function in this world with a very compassionate heart, then and only then are you more like Jesus than any other time. When you have a heart of compassion and you can reach into someone's life, when you can empathize with the situation that they're going through, that is when you are more like Jesus than any other time in your life. I've heard it said like this: some people are so worldly minded they're of no heavenly good, but some people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. There is a place that you can reach where you are high-minded and you can't function with the heart of compassion. Your mind is set on one thing and one thing only. My sin has been forgiven. Jesus' blood has washed me clean. I now have a relationship with him. I'm going to forget about everyone else. I'm going to move on in the direction that the Lord has called me in, and I'm not going to worry about what's going on around me. But that's not what God has called us to do. Just like Jesus, Jesus left his home in glory. He clothed himself in flesh and blood, and he came to earth, born in a stinky, smelly manger. He learned how to be obedient. Raised by his earthly mother and father, he walked with the lowest. He walked with the social outcasts. He reached the people that the scribes and Pharisees didn't want anything to do with. He even went so far as to take the disciples at the end of the day, and he put on that robe, and he took that basin of water, and he washed the disciples' stinky, smelly, dirty feet. And he said, just as I have done today, you do likewise. So is there someone that you're having a hard time showing mercy or compassion to? You're never, ever more like Jesus than when you serve someone. Another story I heard one time, there was a man trying to catch a flight. He was running through the airport. He had some of his luggage in his hand. He wasn't really paying attention to where he was going. He rounded a corner in this hallway, and there was a little shoe shine boy. He knocked him down. His stuff went everywhere. All of his shoe shine material was scattered all throughout the floor. So he stopped what he was doing. He put his own bags down. He stopped and helped the little boy pick up all of his stuff. He said, I'm so sorry, son. It was my fault. I wasn't watching where I was going. He got everything back together and got him set up. And the little boy looked at him and said, mister, he said, are you Jesus? And the man said, no, son, I'm not. I'm not Jesus. The little boy said, man, you sure do look like Jesus. You are never, ever more like Jesus than when you stop to serve someone. You're never more like Jesus than when you show a heart of compassion and mercy and just take the time to invest in someone's life. I'm not saying you've got to give every person you meet a $20 bill, but something you can give them that's not going to cost you a penny is your smile. And you'll reap more rewards with that than any other thing. And this word about encouragement, to call out someone, to come alongside and call out someone. I know what you're thinking. There's that preacher saying, I got to talk to somebody about Jesus. I got to share that. Yeah, we need to open our mouth and share the good news. It just blows my mind some of the things that we can talk about. We can talk about movies. We can talk about sports. We can talk about politics. We can talk about some of the craziest things that don't amount to a hill of beans. But we have the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're silent. We don't tell anyone the best news ever is that there's someone who died for the sins of the world, who gave his life for me and for you. Without him, you're headed to a place called hell, a place of torment. That's not what God created us for. That's not what God designed us for. God created us to have fellowship with him, to have communion with him. But sin separates that fellowship. And the only way to have that fellowship restored is to have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. To know for sure that Jesus Christ died for your life and you have given your life to him. Last Sunday for Father's Day, my group brought me to Lafayette. We went Topgolf for the first time, which was a blast. Before that, we went out to eat. One of my favorite places, Texas Roadhouse. And we had something very interesting happen. And I thought, you know, here we are on a Sunday, and this person says that no one has ever taken the time to ask her if they could pray for her about something. I had one of these, well, I usually wear at least one or two of them with me wherever I go. And I wear them not just to show people. I wear them specifically to give to other people. And so I've made it a habit of doing that. It's a way to get the gospel into a conversation. It's a way to let them know that, hey, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you ask them what's going on in their life and how you could pray for them, that lets them know that you care, you genuinely care about what's going on in their life. So the waitress came around. She took her order and she said, is there anything else? I said, yeah, there's one other thing. Is there something going on in your life that I could pray for you about? And she stopped and she thought for a moment. This was on a Sunday. Remember, this was on a Sunday. There'd probably been a lot of church people come through that restaurant. And it was 2:30 in the afternoon by the time we got there. She said, I've been working here for several years. That's the first time anyone has ever asked me that. And I just wonder, I've been thinking about that ever since last week. I just wonder if each and every one of us today would take the time to say, hey, how is your day going? And is there anything that I could pray for you about? I just wonder how much that would change our community if we would give a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, a little bit of compassion, and a little bit of encouragement to someone who may be struggling. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I hope that you'll accept that as a challenge, because as it is, we have some more of these green wristbands. We have some gospel tracts out in the foyer. We have all the resources that you need to invest in someone's life for all eternity. But here this morning, I would wonder, is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Maybe you've heard me speaking about spiritual gifts. Maybe you're having a hard time figuring out what your place in this world really is. Maybe you don't know for sure where you'll spend eternity. And I've asked so many people that. You know, where would you go if you died today? Where would you spend eternity if you die today? And I have so many people tell me, I don't know. If you don't know, more than likely you are headed to a place called hell. Because a person who has been born again, they know for sure where they're going to spend eternity at. Say, Brother Tracy, how can anybody know for sure where they're going to spend eternity at? 1 John chapter 5 tells us this. These things I have written to you who believe upon the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And it is at that point when you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior that he begins showing you and giving you those spiritual gifts to use here in a local congregation. So if that's a decision that you need to make today, here in just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. That's what this is for, for you to respond to what you've heard this morning. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today could be that day. Man, that'd be the best birthday present anyone has ever given to me. Is on my birthday, someone was born again. Everybody here knows when their birthday is. June 22nd, 1968 is mine. I was born in De Quincey, Louisiana. I don't know exactly. It was in the afternoon or evening, I believe. Every one of us here knows when our birthday is. We can tell you just that fast. What about your spiritual birthday? The day that you were born again. You should be able to identify a place or a time in your life where you know for sure that you bow down on your knee, you confess your sin, you ask Jesus to save you and come into your life and take control. And if you can't think of a time like that, today could be that time. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, my heart's prayer is if anyone here does not know for sure where they'll spend eternity at, that when they exit this building, they'll know for sure that they have met you in a way that they never have before. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that knows for sure that they'll spend eternity in heaven, Lord, if they're struggling, if they're going through this life with no certain direction, Lord God, and not finding a place to plug in, I pray that they would take this time at the altar to find out where that is. Lord, if there's anyone here who's looking for a church home, if there's anyone here who is not connected with the local congregation, I pray that today would be the day that they would say, I want to be a member of this family here. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that as these altars are open, as the music begins, that they would find a place where they can get along with you. They could commit their lives to you, and they can move in the direction that you want them to move in. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.